We want to turn to the Word of God, the book of Lamentations, and chapter 3. The book of Lamentations and the chapter 3. Going to commence to read together some verses of this chapter, beginning at the verse 1. So, Lamentations, the chapter 3, and beginning to read together at the verse 1. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and with travail. He hath set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. He has hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with a few stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. And we pray indeed the Lord will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Amen. Want to turn in God's word again to that portion that we read together in Lamentations and the chapter 3. Lamentations and chapter 3. My text is a very well-known one this morning. It says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, it is the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. And here's our text this morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. So let's pray and ask God to bless us around his word this morning. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank you we can come together to meet in this fashion. We thank you for the hymns of praise. And as we turn to thy word, we certainly acknowledge we need thee. And I pray that thy hand will be upon me, that, Lord, I will preach the word you've laid upon my heart for this congregation. I pray it be a word in season. And, Lord, I will come alongside and meet everyone at the point of their need. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. There was a man called Thomas Chrysostom, and he lived in 1866 to 1960. It tells us about this man that he had a very difficult adult life because of his sickness. There were times he was laid aside, unable to go to work. He was confined to bed. But one great thing about this man, at 27 years of age, he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. He found Christ as his Lord and his Savior. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. He had his troubles, he had his trials, he had his sickness. But dear friends, he had Christ. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. He had the pearl of great price, the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells about this man that he loved the Word of God, and one of the parts of the Bible he loved was the very portion that I read to you in Lamentations chapter 3, the verses 22 and verse 23. It is the Lord's mercies that were not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. He loved this particular passage of the Word of God that tells us about the faithfulness of his God. Great is thy faithfulness. Remember, here was a man in his bed of sickness. Down, my friends, in the valley. And yet, from the very depths of his heart, he could say, great is thy faithfulness. He had a great ability of writing poems. He wrote a number of poems, and he wrote that great hymn that we know, Great is thy faithfulness. He sent him, of course, to his friend, a musician called William Runyon, and one day he lifted it and he composed music. And so we had that great hymn, Great is thy faithfulness. In his darkest moments of his life, listen, he learnt his God is faithful. Is faithful. And Jeremiah, in this particular passage of the Word of God, he's gone through hard times, difficult times. Jerusalem has fallen into the hands of their enemies. He says in chapter 2 and verse 11, mine eyes do fail with tears. He's weeping. You go down through the verses we read together. He talked about his affliction. He talks about being in darkness in verse 2. In verse 3, he says, listen, that the very hand of God is against him. He feels he's chained in verse 7. Verse 15, he's filled with bitterness. In verse 16, he is broken. And the words he says in verse 18, that all hope is gone. It's gone. Oh, dear friends, here's a man in darkness. Here's a man in trouble. And yet he gets his eyes on God. He gets his eyes on the Lord, his God of his salvation, his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. I recall something to my mind and to my heart in the midst of his trial, in the midst of his darkness. He recalls something. A great truth about his God. Great is thy faithfulness. Maybe there's some here today in this meeting and you're hurting and you're crying and you're in darkness and you're in affliction and you're in trouble and you feel the hand of God is upon you and you feel perhaps there's just no hope for your situation. Oh, dear friends, maybe you're at your worst. Jeremiah seemed to be here at his worst. Maybe you feel I'm at my worst this morning. You have to confess these words. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. And I want to speak about the faithfulness of God. Three very simple areas in the closing moments of the meeting, and I trust it'll be an encouragement to everyone's heart in this meeting. And I thought about this. There are three ways I want to look at God's faithfulness. And the first one's very general in a sense. God is faithful in his creation. Now, we know, of course, everyone I'm sure believes in this meeting, our God made the heavens and the earth 6 days. He made the world by the word of his power. And the Bible is very, very clear about this. In Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, listen, God created the heavens and the earth. No doubt about it, friends. No argument for this. A statement that is true. God made the heavens and the earth. I read then in Psalm 36, verse 5, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. And the psalmist here is talking about the faithfulness of his God. And as he looked, listen, as he looked in creation, he saw the faithfulness of God. I want to know just three simple ways that you can see this. Think about the rising of the sun every day. It's maybe something we take for granted. The Bible says in Psalm 104, verse 22, the sun ariseth. In Psalm 74 and verse 6, the day is thine and the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. And listen, without fail, a new day dawns every day. Every day a new day comes before us. The darkness of the night, it fades away. In the rising of the sun, great is thy faithfulness. Remember, you waking early in the morning and a new day is just dawning, and you can see the light coming in through the curtains of the blind, and you can actually say, lying in your bed, great is thy faithfulness. A new day has arrived. I'm sure most of us probably have seen the rising of a sun. Remember a time we went in Israel a few years ago with Dr. Douglas and some people, we thought we would get up to see the rising of the sun. I have seen it before. It's not the only time I was up early, by the way. But we got up in Israel and at the Sea of Galilee. And we all got up and, you know, just waiting on a moment. You know, waiting in this moment. There was darkness. And you would see it getting brighter. And friends, just up, coming up the other side of the sea was the rising of the sun. Now, what a sight that is, friends. The faithfulness of God in this. But imagine, he wasn't faithful in this. Imagine you didn't know whether the sun was going to rise or not, and we found ourselves in darkness. What confusion, what disruption there would be in our workplaces, in our homes, in our school, in our life, if God was not faithful, even in this very simple matter, every day. He rises the sun. The sun comes up. And dear friends, I have to say to you, it's a mercy to behold a new day. And I see his faithfulness in a dawning of a new day. I can say, great is thy faithfulness. And I thought also in another area, in the stopping of the sea. Now, I live up beside Anna Long at this particular time. But in relation to just even living there, I see his faithfulness. Because I think about the borders of the sea. I think about the waves coming crashing in the storms and the wind, crashing in against the shore. And listen, friend, they stop. They stop. They don't come on up. They don't engulf the whole village. And why is this? Because he's faithful. He stops them. God does it. In Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 22, the Lord says, fear ye not me, saith the Lord, will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it. And though the waves are oft tossed themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. Listen, Jeremiah realized this. He believed this. God, in his faithfulness, he stops. He stops the roaring of the sea. Imagine, he wasn't faithful. Imagine, I could float it out today. I'm up the road a wee bit, by the way. But imagine I could float it out the day, and tomorrow the sea stopped, and the next day, after all been cleaned up, the whole thing was washed away again. Listen, friends, just in these little things that we all take for granted, great is his faithfulness. The stopping of a sea. Think about the changing of the seasons. He's very faithful in giving us our seasons. Spring, summer, autumn, and winter. Now, he promised that after the great flood. In Genesis 8 and verse 22, while the earth remaineth seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Of course, this is a promise to the Lord, to the world. We will always get our seasons. He changes the seasons. We get our spring, we get our summer, we get our autumn. Listen, we get our winter. God changes the seasons. And listen, he never fails. He never fails. I remember doing a mission years ago. Very bad weather, wet weather. We're all used to that, of course, but we still yearn, don't we? We still moan about this. We're great moaners about the weather. But I remember coming into spring, and I was waiting on it myself. I was out doing a mission, and it was wet, cold, wet weather. and out in the farming community, and I thought to myself, well, it just must be difficult for the farmers. They're bullying to get out in with the tractors and get working in the fields. But no, they're not getting out in the fields. The rain was coming down. The rain was coming down one day after the next day after the next day. So I was knocking doors, and I came across this man. This old farmer came out, and I started talking to him. I got talking about Christ and all as well. But I remember saying to him, says, "I spring's late this year." And he's an old man. And that man looked at me. He taught me a lesson I never forgot. He looked at me, and he wasn't saved. He said these words, "Spring will come. It always does. Spring will come. It always does." And he just went on in the house and closed the door. But something? Sure enough, about a week later, or a few days, I can't remember the time scale, the rain stopped, the clouds were back, the sun came out, and there's all the farmers out in the field. But I never forgot that lesson, friends. Spring will come. It always does. Maybe you're in the winter time of your life at the moment. Maybe you're going through trials and trouble. Listen, the changes of the seasons will take place in your life. So therefore, we can trust God, you see. He's faithful. We can plan. We can sow our seed. We can go on holidays. We can prepare different things in our life because we depend upon the faithfulness of our God. And great is thy faithfulness in these little areas of our life that we take for granted. In creation. And when this man was writing, Thomas was writing this particular hymn, he says, "Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars and their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love." And this man, when he wrote this particular hymn, when he looked at creation, he thought, listen, about the faithfulness of God. Great is thy faithfulness. Now that's only in creation. What about his children? That's those of us this morning who saved and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jeremiah said these words, listen, he was thinking about the people of God. He was thinking about himself. And he realized that God is faithful to all of his people. He can be nothing else. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, we have those words, God is faithful. And Jeremiah, remember, as I said, he was down in the dumps. He was broken. He was weeping. And he remembered. He reminded himself of the tremendous truth. Is God's faithful? Great is thy faithfulness. Think about his compassion to them. God is faithful. He used two words. One, of course, is mercies. He talked about the mercies of the Lord here in our passage. And, of course, that means love and kindness. And then he talked about compassions. The word compassions means tender love. And this is a tremendous truth for all of God's people. He's always faithful, listen, to all of his children. He never stops loving his children. He never fails to love his children. He never stops at any time. You see, he's faithful. I can say it myself, and I'm sure I speak on behalf of every child of God here this morning. Your love to him changes. And we're not so faithful in the area of loving Christ the way we should. It runs hot and cold. In Revelation chapter 2, to the church at Ephesus, the letter came, chapter 2, verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." Why? "Because I have left thy first love." They have left their first love. They used to love him. They used to love Christ, but no, they had left. And maybe there's some in the congregation this morning, over the last few months, you have left your first love. But he has never stopped loving you. Isn't that amazing? The Lord will never stop loving his people. You may have fallen. You may have failed him. You may have forsaken. But he has not changed his mind about you. That's tremendous. He loves his people with an eternal love. Remember, he said to Jeremiah 31, verse 3, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And I only speaking of myself here this morning. I have given the Lord a million reasons why he should stop loving me. But he's never changed his mind. And so have you. There's many reasons in your heart and your life, child of God this morning, why the Lord should have stopped loving you. But he has never changed his mind. He's faithful in this. In Song of Solomon 2, verse 4, he says, his banner over me is love. It's love, you see. You see, great is thy faithfulness. And God is faithful. Even in this little area, his tender compassions to us, to all of his people all over the world, he loves them with a great love. Oh, love that will not let me go. He's faithful in this area to you and I. Think about the cure of God's people. You know, the Lord who is the Father of his people, he meets their every need. We know that, of course. We only have to read the Bible and to see the loving, tender care of God the Father to his people. You take there, for instance, when the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. In the wilderness, the barrenness of the place, the hardness of the place, the emptiness of the wilderness. They had nothing. But dear friends, they had God's faithfulness. They had God's faithfulness. And he cared for them. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 35, it says, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came onto the borders of the land of Canaan. Listen, for 40 years God fed them. And listen, he fed them in the wilderness when they had nothing. God was faithful. Every morning. The manna had fallen down, friends, from heaven. God was faithful in his delivery service here. And you know, of course, about the water situation and how they murmured and how they complained. We're going to die with thirst. You're going to kill the children. You're going to kill the cattle. They complained to Moses. Dear friends, we know in the faithfulness of God that he gave them water from the rock. And there's a tremendous verse in Psalm 78 and verse 16 speaks about that great miracle, about the water from the rock. It says, he brought streams also out of the rock, and listen to these words, and caused waters to run down like rivers. Like rivers, sometimes we think about the water coming out of the rock. It was like a little top, and you went up with your kettle or your saucepan, and you just filled it up, and then you went away. No, friends, the waters ran out of the rock like rivers. Like rivers. And we find here when we think of this, the faithfulness of God. He cared for his people. And his faithfulness. He has never changed. God has not changed. He has not changed one iota, friends, in this area. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. He will meet the need of his people. Paul, when writing to the church of Philippi in chapter 4 and verse 19, he could say to those people, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Listen, he'll meet your need, whatever it is. He has promised to do this because great is his faithfulness. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, remember in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, verse 26, he tells the people, well, take no thought of your life, what you should eat and what you should put on. And the word thought means, don't be anxious. Don't be worrying about this. And he actually says, behold, the fowls of the air. Have a look at the little birds, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And he says to his people, listen, have a look at the little birds. Who feeds the little birds? All over the world. God does. Every day he feeds them. Great is his faithfulness. He cares for his people. And maybe you're going into hard times because of the coronavirus. Maybe there's some in the congregation and financially it's hitting you hard and it's going to be going to hit you harder. And you wonder how you're going to make ends to meet. Oh, dear friends, remember the faithfulness of God. He shall supply all your need. He is faithful in us. The Lord tells us himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, to look at the little birds. Are you not much better than they? Of course we are. Oh, dear friends, great is thy faithfulness. Of course, that verse is in the hymn. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And then it said this, all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Another tremendous truth in that hymn. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. That is my testimony up to right now in my Christian life. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Not all that I wanted. No. All I have needed. And that's the same for every child of God in this meeting, and even all over the world. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And all I have needed in the past, listen, in the very future, in this particular day and age, it may be difficult for you, child of God, in this meeting. But remember his faithfulness. He'll care for you. He looked after the children of Israel in the wilderness. He looks after the little birds. He said he will supply your every need. The faithfulness of our God. Isn't that wonderful to have a God like us? He's loved us and saved us. He's faithful. And you think even in the area of our prayers and intercessions, he's faithful to hear our prayers. The psalmist said in Psalm 143, verse 1, hear my prayer, O Lord. So he's crying out to God to hear him. Give ear to my supplications. And here's what he said. In thy faithfulness, answer me. And in thy righteousness. Now notice here. He's crying unto God that God would hear him. And he says, in thy faithfulness, answer me. He knew his God was faithful to answer. And by the way, so did Jeremiah. Remember the Lord said to him in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which I know is not. And so he says to Jeremiah, call me and I will answer thee. And I said to everyone here in the congregation, God is faithful in answering our prayers. Now the question may come up here this morning, well, I've been praying for years about certain things, but I haven't got my answer. Well, dear friends, that's where you're wrong. God answers every prayer you ever pray. He does. I know sometimes no the answer is. The answer's no. The children come looking this and that and the other. Ah, no problem. This is whatever you want. No, right? That's not how it operates in their homes. That's not how God operates. Sometimes the answer's no. Sometimes he perhaps gives us a different answer. The answer we're looking, he answers a different way, unexpectedly. And sometimes, we have to wait on the answer. And that's generally the way of praying to God. We have to wait on the Lord. We're told many times in his word to wait on God. And we are to wait. But he answers, you see. And dear friend, in thy faithfulness, answer me. What a great friend we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. This encourages every child of God to pray, to cry unto him at this particular time. Lord, in thy faithfulness, answer me. Is he not your heavenly Father, child of God, this morning in the meeting? Of course he is. He'll not turn away. Great is thy faithfulness. And sometimes we thank the Lord for not answering all the prayers we offered when we get wiser. For sometimes we pray very strange things. And he says, I'm glad the Lord never answered that prayer I offered. He knows better. Trust him. But here's what I want to say this morning. He's faithful. He's faithful. Isn't that wonderful? To have this faithful God in dark moments of our life, difficult times, and there are countries going through, and the world, of course, as well. But great is thy faithfulness. And then we think even of pardon of our sin. There's tremendous words in 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful. And just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, dear friends, he is faithful in this. He is faithful. If we confess our sins unto him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We fail him thousands of times. We fail the God of our salvation. And yet if we turn to him, if we call upon him, if we ask for forgiveness, he'll always forgive us. Because the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're a child of God this morning, you're troubled about sin, the devil will trouble you. Look what you said, look what you have done, and you perhaps find it difficult to forgive yourself. Listen here this morning. Confess it unto Christ. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's a matter over with God. He's forgiven you your sin. And he's always faithful. If I failed my best friend as often as I failed God, I would have no friends. And neither would you. Isn't that right? You would have no friends at all if you failed your best friends the way you failed God. But dear friends, he is faithful. He always forgives us. And then that great hymn again. We didn't sing it this morning because it's not on the list. But pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessing all mine with 10,000 beside. Notice what he said. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. And there is pardon for sin. And listen, there's peace in for your heart this morning, child of God. Great is his faithfulness. I feel, I fall, I come to him. I turn from my sin. I ask the Lord to forgive me. And he always forgives me. He always forgives me. He doesn't hold a grudge against me. Great is his faithfulness this morning. Every child of God in the meeting. Oh, we can go on with this. Our time is rushing on. And what about his presence and all with us? He's very faithful. He's always with us. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, those familiar words, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake. And I love those words. I will, listen, never. I will never leave thee. One particular writer said, there's many a believer who forsakes God, but there's never a believer whom God forsakes. He never. He says here in this word, he is always with his people, walking with them. He never leaves our side. He's beside you today, child of God. His faithfulness in this matter, and his protection as well, that were more's mercies, that were not consumed. That were not consumed. Oh, Jeremiah realized him and his people, they deserve far worse. But oh, we're not consumed. You know, Deuteronomy 4, verse 24 says, the Lord thy God is a consuming fire. So he is. Unsaved, if you don't turn from your sin, you will find yourself consumed. Cast down into hell for all eternity for your sin. But God's people will never be consumed. It's a wonderful this morning to be safe in the arms of Jesus. To be in his hand, to have eternal life. He's faithful. He will keep us. He's watching over us. So I say to you, child of God, as someone has said, never give up on God, because he never gives up on you. Don't be giving up on him, whatever your situation, because he never gives up on you. Remember, these are fresh supplies every morning. His mercies, his compassion, every morning without fail, they come to us, delivered to us personally by the Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. to all his children. Now, that's my testimony this morning. And I trust it's a testimony of every child of God in this meeting, that God has been faithful to you all right up to now in your Christian life. He ain't going to fail you in the rest of your life. He's always been faithful. He continues to be faithful to all of his children. Great is thy faithfulness. Could I say, lastly, he's very faithful in his covenant. Now, I refer to this, the covenant, I think, about the Word of God and the great promises he has made. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, here's what Moses said. Now, therefore, that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. Now remember, this is Moses' closing address to the children of Israel, and he's reminding them, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God which keepeth covenant. And Moses is saying unto the people, what God has said in his word, he's going to keep it. He's going to keep every promise he has said to you. He's a faithful God. He's going to keep his word. You only have to read the Bible. You'll see when Joshua, when he brought the people into the promised land and soon to take his leave from the people, he said in Joshua 23, verse 14, Joshua says, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you, all are come pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Listen, he said to the people, do you see all the things God has said, all the promises he has made? He says, not one of them has failed. Not one of them. Not one promise had failed from God. Because he's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful in his covenant promises to us to save his people from their sins. Matthew 1, verse 21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for thou shalt save his people. He shall save his people from their sins. He has come to give us eternal life. In Titus 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So he sent his son to save us. He has promised to give us everlasting life. Listen, he has promised to bring us home to heaven. Every one of God's people will be brought home to heaven. Matthew 8, verse 11, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. That's what God has said about me. Child of God. That's what he said about you. Do you think he's going to fail? He ain't going to fail. He has covenanted through Christ to save us, through the death of his son upon the cross and shed of his blood. He's going to bring us home to heaven. Great is thy faithfulness. That hymn says, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All that I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Listen, Lord, unto me. And child of God, like I said, put your hand upon your heart this morning. He says, Lord, great is thy faithfulness unto me. To me. I'm not talking about the person beside you or the person behind you or the person in front of you. But great is thy faithfulness unto me. Wherever you are. Look at Jeremiah where he was. We're back right again in the circle. In darkness and brokenness and tears. He felt all hope had gone. And he says, great is thy faithfulness to me. Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? And the Lord Jesus is your Savior. He's a faithful God. Great is thy faithfulness. He will not fail us at this time. He will take us all through. And he'll bring us all safely home. And I trust indeed the Lord will write his word upon everyone's heart.